You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
This is the IT and the D Show. Thank you for clicking play. We've made it all the way to episode 298. This is the post Motor City Comic Con edition. And boy, is Dave tired. I'm fine. But hey, we got two great guests lined up this for segment two. Aaron Lake, Jason Yeager are here. They're with a company called Otava. You probably haven't heard of them, but they've been around for 25 years, and we're going to tell the story of how a little dial-up ISP has turned into one of the biggest cloud leaders in the state of Michigan. It's going to be a great story. And then stay tuned for segment three. Dave and I were very lucky to get a couple interviews in at Motor City Comic Con. Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk, and Mr. Leslie Baker.
Incredible Hulk.
Everyone knows the original Incredible Hulk. And also Leslie Baker, better known as Stanley Hudson from the hit show The Office, who was a super cool guy. And it was a very fun
couple of voice actors as well, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, your systems are managed, your device is secured, and your company's data is protected. Why? Because IT is what you do. And because being a difference maker is who you are. To learn more about the ways we're making a difference for IT professionals, visit www.lenovo.com/SMB, powered by Intel Core i7 processors. And Dave, you made fire when ready.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
It's I Love the 90s, and this is 1998.
Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy Dee Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Do you speak any English? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Because little girls are the devil!
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT in the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my hoo-hoos.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
Good morning! Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
Things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
Hey, guys, it's Time Hawk, Bruce Leroy from The Last Dragon. You're listening to the IT and D Show.
First he was Jesse the Body Ventura, then he was Jesse the Mind, now he's Jesse the Governor.
Hey, everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. You're listening to IT and the D. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
I could just keep a drive around and make out. I love making out. And I don't mean to brag, but I'm really, 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 really good at it.
Right. Sounds good.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds. What is a nerd?
Hi, this is Ogre. You listen to a bunch of nerds on the IT and the D? Nerd.
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony and Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT and the D.
What the hell is happening? I blew up the building. What? Because you made a phone call.
Hey, what up? This is Jay Muse, and you're listening to the IT and D Show. Snooch to the Nooge. Listen, Muse, Snoogans.
There is fate, but it only takes you so far, because once you're there, it's up to you to make it happen.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Papa Pump. The IT and the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
Steve Eisenman, let's do it again. Come get the Stanley Cup.
This is Robert Hayes, a Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
His dudeness or duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
From Detroit, this is IT and D Show. This is Tiny Lister Depot from the hit movie Friday.
keep your lights on, because I still got the bicycle. Now get that mic out my face.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Ho!
I'm the president. I'm the emperor. I'm the king. I'm Michael Jackson. You Tito.
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science.
So,
Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
Is that a hair gel?
Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
I can use
No, you don't have to.
I just ran out.
The question isn't what are we going to do, the question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Welcome back. Thanks for hanging out once again. This is the one and only IT and the D Show. We're broadcasting.
How tired
live.
Am I? I forgot how to use the damn software.
Yeah. You blamed it on the computer and it was your fault.
Hey, we've had glitches.
We're broadcasting live here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit, beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek, Randy the F&G. Nuri the F&G is in the house, as is Randy. I know, right? Sorry. As is Randy, I do the Twitters. Find us online, itinthed.com, and do us a favor. Give us a like on the socials and subscribe to us everywhere. Fine podcasts are sold.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep it simple. We have events. They're on the Meet tab. Go find them.
M-E-E-T, not M-E-A-T.
Not M-E-A-T. Although we did survive the weekend on Meat Sticks.
We did. The entire...
Is that a food group?
Food group? I don't know.
Is that a euphemism?
But yeah, at Motor City Comic Con, we spent pretty much Friday in the early a.m. until Sunday in the late p.m. Mm-hmm. Every minute of all day, either in the hotel bar or on the floor.
Sometimes on the floor in the hotel bar.
Right. But I'm going to be honest. It gets crazier and crazier every single year. It seems like we do this. They expanded it. They widened the aisles. They kind of listened to the people in terms of that.
Well, yeah. I mean, so Suburban, the venue where they actually have the event. I mean, my God, added so much space into that thing. It's crazy how much bigger it is now.
And they use every square inch. I mean, that's been new. But they were estimating what 70,000 people.
That's what
I heard,
Saturday. Yeah. Well, depending on how you look at it, it didn't help or it didn't hurt. They had some of the celebrity guests that were only there on Sunday. Now, those that are familiar know that Sunday's usually kind of a slower day. It's kids' day, so it's usually just a little bit more laid back and mellow. But with, like Dave Tennant, Doctor Who, and some of the other guests that were only there on Sunday, it was jam packed again. All over, and it was crazy.
Well, it's amazing from mine and your standpoint when there aren't any 80s celebrities from our comedy movies. Like, we couldn't care less.
We have no idea what to do. Like, we're just at a loss. Like, we were walking around and we should go talk to so and so. And I'm like, all right, well, what will we talk to them about?
Got nothing. But so been on the show for 9 years.
Cool.
Yeah, what you doing?
What are you doing now?
Well, the whole point of it is I don't want to – that's why we always did the drops and not the interviews, because I don't want to ask all the same toilet questions that Fox 2 and 97.1 has to ask them, right? Well, how you like Detroit? And I ended up doing the same crap anyway. How's the pizza? You know what I mean?
Lou Ferrigno was a fan of the pizza.
Oh, he was. That's all. Having a – Coney dog. But I did – one of the most bizarre moments was 2 a.m. I was whiskey drinking because I'm not drinking beer during my little.
Right.
And then Pauly Shore walks up to me with a box of donuts and said, "Want a Greek Town donut?" And I'm like, "Oh, no, thanks, Pauly. Good to see you.
But did he say, "Do you want a Greek Town donut?"
No, he didn't do that.
No, he didn't.
Hey, buddy.
No, he didn't want a donut.
He was pretty chill, sunglasses on, 24 hours. Dude, his dad passed away Saturday before his show at the Royal Oak Music Theater.
Woof.
Yeah, so I saw him in the morning on Sunday when I was walking in getting a coffee, and it looked very quiet. He's just sitting there, and I just figured they're just kind of hanging out in the couch.
Yeah.
But then we found that out, and I'm like, Get out of here, man. Get on a plane.
Yeah. And he did. He left early, but he was there for a little bit Sunday morning. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, all in all, I mean, it was great. I mean, all of the so with the expanded space, it just seemed like there were so many more artists and vendors and everything else there this year, including a lot of stuff that hasn't been at previous years, which is kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just because it's nice to have a change up and some variety.
And your dirty smoking habit paid off once again.
Dude. I am not even going to try to hide this, so I walk outside to grab a smoke.
Yeah, it's all over your Facebook. Come on.
Oh, it is.
And our Twitter. And
and I walk outside, and I got a cigarette in my hand.
He wanted to go Google all over the guy's Facebook.
Are you on MySpace? And so I walk outside, and I got a cigarette in my hand, and from my left I hear, "Excuse me, do you happen to have a light?"
Oh, God.
And I turn, and it's Tom freaking Ellis, Lucifer. And I'm like, "You're goddamned right I do." And so, you know, I hand him my lighter and we start chit-chatting and yakking and talking. And, you know, I'm like, "Yeah," I said, "for what it's worth, I'm like, you're basically one of three reasons why I made sure that we had press passes for this event. And the other two are your co-hosts or your co-stars.
You're also the reason I'm bi."
Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally.
Just for tonight, though.
I wasn't, but I am now. I'm open for negotiation. But no, so it was great. You know, I had a great conversation with him about, you know, like season four and moving to Netflix and, you know, what that's like. And he is such – so it's one of those things where, like, you know, you good touch, bad touch about meeting people like that is, you know, you always hope they're not going to be dicks. And,
yeah.
And, dude, he could not have been – any more genuine, any nicer, just such a great guy. So grateful to the fans, you know, that poured out the support after, you know, Fox canceled them and getting them brought onto Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one of my biggest pet peeves of this thing. And I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus. They know who they are. But the ones that charge like $50 for an autograph and $50 for a cell phone picture,
mm-hmm,
and say next.
Yeah.
And you know, but like the thing is, the lines are on the block. Like everyone that like
– dude, so that was, you know, that was insane. I mean, there were several times throughout Saturday in particular where the line – because, again, it's expanded, so it's even bigger than it's been in past years. And we actually comment on this. So like, you know, Friday morning – get done with setup at about like 10:30, and the show doesn't open until noon. So we're like, "Hey, you know, hey, thanks everybody for, you know, coming to help out. Let's walk down to the hotel bar. We'll grab a Bloody Mary. Life's good, you know. Cheers." And so, you know, we have a, you know, have a Bloody Mary, and then, you know, we get ready to walk back to the con, and it's almost noon, and we're like, "There's no line. Like, what's going on? Like, there's always a line when this thing starts up." So Friday night at the, you know, hanging out at the bar afterwards, I'm talking to one of the con volunteers, and come to find out, they're staging people on the inside. So there wasn't really a big line outside to be apparent to everybody driving by or walking around. So, like, you know, part of that expansion is a huge new ticketing area. There's a second floor. So, like, they were staging people in the ticketing area and the rooms upstairs. And so that's why there was no line apparent.
It isn't a nightclub. You don't have to posh that it's cool. Everyone knows it's cool, yeah, on the inside.
But even with that, on Saturday by 10:30 in the morning. So show opens at 10. By 10:30 in the morning, all of that was filled. The line was wrapped all the way around the expansion,
jeez,
down the building and around the hotel. It was nuts.
We had friends that bought prepaid tickets and sat in line from 10:30 until 1 a.m. or 1 p.m.
Why? If you have a prepaid ticket, aren't you just walking in the door?
I would love to know. And it's a big beef. I mean, you know, he goes, "By the time I got up to the front, there was three people scanning tickets." I don't get it.
Well, yeah, and there were people on there, you know, on the Facebook page that were complaining about, you know, "Hey, I missed my photo op," or "Hey, I missed, you know, the panel that I wanted to go to because I was in line for two and a half hours."
The guy for John Cleese from Monty Python.
Yeah.
He said, "I was number 20 in line. I sat in that line for 3 hours."
Mm.
So like
– well, and that's one of those things that some people – and I can kind of see both sides of this. A lot of people were, you know, or not a lot, some people were complaining because part of buying a VIP ticket meant you got to go in that little sideline that
they had.
And they said, you know, the problem was, so like he was, you know, number 20 in line, that entire sideline was full
right.
of VIPs.
They had to wait for that.
They had to wait for all of them before they started even working through anybody else. So, yeah, I mean, but, you know, and you know, as always, I mean, there's so so many cosplayers walking around. Keep an eye out for the Ten Commandments of Cosplay that will be coming out in the near future.
No, it was like instead of, hey, kids, Big Ben Parliament, it was like, hey, kids, Fat Thor, Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Hey, kids, Fat Thor, Harley Quinn. And like it just it was like a never-ending cycle.
Yeah, Fat Thor was definitely the Deadpool
Year. But the problem was Fat Thor looks too much like the dude.
Well, so that's what we were trying to figure out. Are you Fat Thor, the dude, or Teen Wolf?
Right.
It could have been any of the or some sort of mashup.
Like, I don't remember the dude carrying around an axe.
Oh, yeah, because it was a guy in a bathrobe and an axe.
Or why
or
is Thor carrying a bowling ball?
Yeah. Just it didn't make a whole lot of sense. But no, so I mean, it was a lot of fun. A lot of great cosplayers walking around.
If you wanted to take, there was a show that was on with a bunch of bikers that I'm not going to name, but if you wanted to take a picture with the entire cast, it was $200.
That's the thing, man.
Olin Mills.
JCPenney family photo.
Right.
Right. Well, and it's one of those things where, you know, that's one of those things where I don't understand the logistics of it or like how all that stuff works or anything. But like it was because when the good folks from the PR agency were walking us around, we were listening and they basically said, you know, okay, so if you're here for a photo op, you have to go in this line where you get a piece of paper and then you go over into this line where you get like your time and then you come back and stand in this line.
So you got to get in line
to get in line.
Right.
How many people were in line to pay $200?
1,000.
Right. Oh, bajillions. I mean, it was nuts.
And it's all cash. The amount of money that flowed through that place could have powered a third world country's GDP for 2 years.
Easily.
I'm joking, but.
No, not really.
There was so much money going.
There are people starving in the world, and somebody's paying $200 to get a picture.
To take a photo.
Right. But no, so I mean, it was, you know, but again, it's one of those things where, like, if that's your fandom and that's your nerd off, you know, that's your nerd off, go for it.
Speaking of fandom and nerd offs, we got to hop in. Game of Thrones ended last night.
Good.
To a chorus of booze where they've renamed it now Game of Groans.
I'm sorry your dragon story didn't end the way you thought it would. I'm sorry. Not sorry.
You know, here's the thing. Like, I sat and watched it end to end, and this is the first time I've sat and watched it end to end since, like, season 4.
Okay.
I've kind of kept – I've been the too lazy didn't read keeping up with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was slow, and I was waiting for the kaboom, and I never got the – there was one kaboom.
I heard it because I was upstairs sitting in my room just relaxing after a long weekend, and I heard one collective – come out of the living room, but that was about it.
That was the scene.
That was one.
That was an hour in, and then there was a water bottle at guy's feet. Like that's pretty much the episode.
That's my favorite part.
Right,
exactly. The fact that there was a Starbucks cup and then a water bottle.
Was this like a Nestle water bottle?
Or oh, yeah. Totally.
Did you see the the label?
Yeah, it was totally. You could see all of it.
Oh, Jesus.
It's like how little time did they spend in the editing room on that stuff?
But it's the last episode. Like, you know, when you're winding down at your job,
yes,
how much
scotch.
Attention do you
spent
really pay attention?
Millions of dollars on this episode. But, like, have a guy look for cups.
Not on the editing guys and not on the set continuity guys.
Well, they got into this
last day.
They got no big argument today. I was listening to 97.1. They got into huge arguments on the worst ending of shows and the best ending of shows. And then they got into like Lost and everyone like that was like probably the most hated ending of any show in the history of humanity.
Oh, I don't know, dude. Sopranos.
Oh, Sopranos also was up there.
A lot of people off.
But then they were applauding like Cheers. But then I think the worst one of all time has to be St. Elsewhere.
I'd agree.
A lot of people in their 30s don't know what it was. So if you don't know what St. Elsewhere was, it was a hospital show, just like Grey's Anatomy. It was a drama.
Yep.
It wasn't even funny.
Nope.
And it went on for, what, five, six, seven, 8 years? And the ending was basically the imagination of a boy with Down syndrome.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Looking into like a snow globe, if I recall correctly.
Right, and that was the end.
What a cop out of an ending.
Well, wasn't it Newhart that ended that way too, where Bob Newhart, had the show with Larry, my other brother Daryl. When they ended that show, they had the very last episode was a flashback, was him waking up in bed next to his wife from the Bob Newhart show back in the 70s. And it was all a dream.
It was all a dream. Yeah. Thanks, Biggie.
Yeah.
I'd rather have it been a dream then I don't know. I'm not going to complain. See, here's the thing. Like, I was talking to some people at the Comic-Con, and it's like the same thing. It's like with Star Wars and wrestling and Game of Thrones, once the fandom gets rabid,
yeah,
where it becomes a thing, like the wrestling is the – I thought they were the worst. And the joke, the memes going around all day with my wrestling buddies were oh yeah, you knew, like, you noob. Like, oh, I hated the writing. Like, oh, you're new to this, aren't you?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We've been here for years.
Rip off. It's like being a Lions fan. Rip off the Band-Aid. You're good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But the one of the craziest stories, not crazy, but something that I did not see coming, and we were talking about Disney, you know, pulling all their stuff off Netflix.
Yep.
They're going to run their own streaming. They're just like, screw it. We're going to buy Hulu.
So they already had a stake in Hulu. And so with this deal, they're assuming full control. They're getting the rest of it from Comcast. So now – and I'm not going to lie. Like, and this article – the article didn't get into this, but I'm hoping – that perhaps their own streaming service might subside in favor of Hulu in general.
Oh, it has to be. That's the whole point of this, isn't it?
Well, I think they're going to split their content. Like, Disney Plus will be more family friendly, whereas
because there's the Hulu saucy stuff all over Hulu, right?
Saucy,
and then maybe they'll bring back all the Marvel things that got pulled off of Netflix.
Well, so that's what I'm hoping for, because, like, you know, like Captain Marvel, you know, didn't go see it in the theater.
Jessica Jones.
So Captain Marvel was going to be is the first movie that was in the theaters that they announced is not going to Netflix because of the split there. So I'm now hoping that's going to go to Hulu.
But doesn't this mean that just Disney now owns like 100% of the things we see in here?
Everything.
Pretty much, yeah.
No, and here's the funny part. But, this was totally glossed over, but like within 5 years, Comcast has agreed to sell its Hulu stake to Disney for $5.8 billion.
Yep.
It's like, oh, here's a check. You know, you want that in USD or, you know.
Yeah, so needless to say, you cord cutters are not hurting Comcast too much.
No. but one of the cool things, I don't know if it's cool, but it's an interesting thing, and it's like basically it's PenguinCon 101. So I had to get a black car because all of the Uber X's and Uber XL's were taken.
Yeah.
And they basically asked me temperature, quiet, or talkativeness of the driver. Or yep. I forget what the exact phrase was. And then it was something else.
Language.
Do
you need luggage assistance?
But basically it's called quiet mode.
Yeah.
Like, please don't talk to me.
Yeah.
And
I don't know if I like this. There's a lot of things happened this week in that space too, because Lyft also just moved to like a PIN code system where you could walk up to the airport and basically show them the PIN number and get in, basically making it a taxi stall as well. Like, if you're doing this kind of gig-based economy, like, how bad do you have to make it before you say, F you, I'm quitting?
So, and I'll be honest with you. I actually wondered about that because nothing came through the app about it, but I used Lyft once this weekend and I used Uber once this weekend. When I used a Lyft, it shot me, hey, here's your Lyft PIN.
Yep.
And like, but like, didn't say anything about what that PIN was for or
basically
like
they're
anything.
Creating taxi stalls like at airports again. It's basically now just become a taxi service again.
But isn't that just you look for your car?
Or you walk up to any driver in the stall, I think, and show them the PIN number. I think that's what I read.
Interesting.
So you don't have a specific car you're looking for. It's just any car with the mustache you can.
Isn't it a form of identification? Isn't it just a form?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, because all the drivers always say, are you Robert? And I'm like, yeah.
The password is Bob.
Right, but I could be like, no, anyone could say they're Robert. I'm Jennifer. Yeah, that's me. I'm Jennifer.
I identify as Jennifer.
Right. so I don't know if I'm just dumb or I don't know this, but I know, right? The story that came out that kind of shocked me was basically that Crispin Glover was not in Back to the Future 2. And I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was.
Basically.
But no, he wasn't.
They took a prosthetic of his face in one when they made him the old man.
Yep.
And they basically used that and used a stunt double.
Yep.
Basically, and gave him a smaller.
And some old footage.
Right. And not as well-defined role.
Yeah.
Because he went bonkers. Like, I guess what he did on Letterman, and he was backstage, he was a complete malcontent.
Well, and he argued with Zemeckis about he didn't like the direction that the theme of the movie, that, you know, money is the gateway to happiness, and, you know, didn't like some of the things that some of the characters were doing. And so he just wanted, you know, he wanted some script changes and that kind of stuff. And then I guess there was a salary dispute. Like, I guess it was originally reported that he wasn't doing it because he demanded the same salary as Michael J. Fox.
Right.
And he's like, no, that wasn't true. He's like, you know, but I did ask.
But he's my son. I should make more than him.
Right. But he's like, you know, but I did ask for the same as, like, you know, some of the other characters that had the same, that were going to have the same amount of screen time and that kind of stuff. And they said no. So, no, I didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And you know, and what the interesting part was is because of that, he took them to court and won.
That's why he only did Charlie's Angels. And that's pretty much the only movie he's done since.
Yeah.
Oh, didn't he do the stupid Pied Piper when he was like the rats? There was like a stupid horror movie. Yeah.
Who ended up coming out on top on that one?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, check out his net worth. He probably did.
I was saying, yeah, depending on how good that settlement was. Yeah.
He was right about that franchise.
Yeah. And then speaking of the franchise that's going downhill, the damn pale kid from Twilight's the new Batman. Come on, man.
Robert Pattinson is the new Batman. You know,
does his voice even go that low?
Who's going to sparkle?
I don't. Here's the thing. Batman's got to have this like aura of like billionaire. It's kind of like Tony Stark, right? Like
it's more than that, though. It's like it's dark and it's gristled. But
you're
also
like a cagey businessman also. Totally.
Yeah.
But they're going the damn Spider-Man route where they're bringing in like a 12-year-old to play Spider-Man. Right. And it's like,
I don't want to play anymore.
There's always at least three Batmans in between the good ones that just suck.
Yeah.
True.
There is.
No. Yeah.
Think about the Clooney
Batmans were just.
Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer was awful.
I mean, there's Michael Keaton.
I knew when Bale came in, Bale would be good because American Psycho is such a, that's such a great movie. He's just a fraction of Patrick Bateman. That was going to be awesome, and he totally killed it.
He killed it.
So we talked a little bit about Hulu and Netflix. I want to make sure. So the trailer for the next season of Black Mirror.
Also speaking about telling your Uber driver to shut up with a button on your phone.
Right. The trailer for the new season of Black Mirror dropped, and it's coming out next month. But it's only going to be 4 episodes. And so I did. I went back and looked because Nuri and I talked about this before. The little pre-show.
Yeah.
So – season one only had 3 episodes. Season two had 4 episodes. Seasons 3 and 4 each had 6 episodes.
So you're saying that I was right.
So it's been going up, and now they're bringing it back down to 4. And I get the rationale about, hey, you know, Bandersnatch was out there, and that's technically an episode, but was it? Because it was, you know, a standalone movie and that kind of stuff. But yeah, so it's only going to be
The trailer is like absolutely chilling too. It's basically like everything else. It's just Black Mirror is one of these amazing things that kind of makes us look at ourselves and our society and say, what the F are we doing wrong?
Yep. That's where we're going.
And then they put the song in the background that talks about being lonely. And I got chills and I'm like, oh, I can't wait for the next season of Black Mirror. But then I'm going to probably hate my life afterward and have to go look at RAW on Reddit.
Right.
Right. And the most American story we've read since the show started, and I thought this was The Onion. I had to read it 3 times. So if you're in Austria, not Australia.
Right.
Austria.
Beautiful country. Nothing ever goes wrong.
Those are different?
Yeah, exactly. No, in Austria, I've been there a few times, and they sell T-shirts on the street saying there's no kangaroos in Austria. Apparently it's amazing. Apparently it's a problem. But they've gotten – U.S. Embassy has struck a deal with Austria, and Austria is basically coordinated with McDonald's, like the Golden Arches, to be a – basically if you are in distress or lost your passport –
If you're an American.
If you're an American and in distress or lost your passport, you can walk into any one of 194 McDonald's joints and basically get help. And there's a 24-hour hotline to the embassy as part of this agreement. So basically the McDonald's have turned into the safe zones for anyone.
I feel like this is like a fat American tourist jab.
There's too many
political jokes.
This is real.
Imagine, like, you think every one of these like movies with spies in other countries, they're like running toward the embassy. Or if you're in trouble, you're being chased by guys with guns blaring, and you're like, run to the embassy, and then they close the door, and there's a bunch of guys with guns, right? Yeah. So now you go to McDonald's, this woman who's like missing her arm, it's bleeding profusely. She walks up to a $10 an hour McDonald's employee and says, can you call the embassy? Like, how can this not just
American
go terribly?
In distress, yeah.
I think it was a package deal. They got the deal for all the catering at the White House, and in return, we got embassies in different countries.
And what they got was they got a McPassport to go. Is what they got. Like
it was mutual.
Oh my god!
Sorry, the passport machine is broken.
There's poop all over the screen. Don't worry.
So nice. So you know, at first we had Shinola saving Detroit. Then we've had all these other people that are claiming to save Detroit. But I think what's really, really, truly going to save Detroit is June 14th to 16th, the world's biggest bounce house. is coming to Detroit, and you Bob can buy tickets for like the low price of $30.
I ain't going.
And bounce around in the world's biggest bounce house.
No.
In downtown Detroit.
No,
there's an obstacle course.
No, I'm good.
And there's like it's like a trampoline thing.
No.
How about we
pool our money together and pay for his ticket?
I'm going in there with box cutters like Wolverine.
That's I'm like what can possibly go wrong? What?
I'm told if you make me do that, that thing's getting I'm gonna get and they won't see me because the thing's like 8 football fields big.
Yeah,
it's I'm like, huge. Wait, you know, I'll take you like, where is it? It'll be like, I'm lost. Like, I can't get out. Like, where am I?
He's like at the Comic Con. Mr. Walton Spiel, please meet your party.
It's actually 2 weekends in Detroit, not only the 14th through the 16th, but also the 7th through the 9th.
They're going to have to
give me a flare gun to find me like, after closing.
Where's Bob? He got wedged in the side between the floor and the wall.
He's covered in piss.
And there are 6-year-olds just wailing on him with wiffle bats.
So this is we're looking at the future right now, and there's a couple stories came out, one in the podcasting world and one in video. And the one was basically, so if you look at like the Joe Rogan podcast, he's been doing hundreds and hundreds of podcasts.
As said, he's, you know, closing in on 400, and he's typically 3 to 4 hours a day.
To 4 hours each. And if you figure, he's probably said every word of his vocabulary in complete inflection
a bajillion times.
So basically they used machine learning and basically recreated the Joe Rogan show and made him talk about something very stupid and gibberish.
Or it created a new Joe. Yeah.
Right. Right. But Dave's got a clip if you want to pull that up.
Yep.
This is machine learning.
I've got something new to tell all of you. I've decided to sponsor a hockey team made up entirely of chimps. I'm tired of people telling me that chimps are not capable of kicking human ass in sports. Chimps are just superior athletes, and these chimps have been working out hard. They're throwing kettlebells, battle ropes, everything. I've got them on a strict diet of bone broth and elk meat. These chimps will rip your balls off. Goddamn, it's impressive.
Goddamn, that was impressive.
Right, but if you look at like chimps are superior athletes, like that, like that almost like, did he ever say that before? Like,
yeah.
Like that was so
crazy.
Clean and spliced together. But then, you know, we were talking before the show now. It's like, how soon before like, they're just making like.
Well, hey, the estate of Whitney Houston just announced today her hologram tour will be coming next year.
Well, you remember the Tupac hologram, right? That was like
years
ago.
I don't know. That's one of those things where like I feel like my inner 87-year-old comes out and I'm like, I don't get it.
But here's the thing: can you make new?
I
music?
Would never go to a concert of a hologram. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Oh God,
it was
no!
Pretty cool, but
just go see a DJ for crying out loud. But like, how soon before they can recreate music? Can Johnny Cash put out a new album?
It's, you know, there was that thing, God, it was back in, 2016 when Adobe had this product that they demoed at one of their shows where you could basically Photoshop people's voice.
I remember that, yeah.
With like 20 minutes of voice content, they could make you say anything, and it was amazing. This is 2 years ago. We've come light years since then.
Right.
You said 2016.
So 3 years.
3 years. Oh, my God. I'm getting old.
2019 minus 2016 is 3.
Details.
So then I use date diff for that.
adding to that, Washington Post put out an article basically that said deep fakes are coming and we're not ready. And if you don't know what that is, it's basically Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia. But they're going to do this with like politicians. They're going to make them say stupid stuff and they're going to put it out into social media and people are going to share it because they think it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And the people never said it.
And then on the flip side, politicians are going to say stupid shit, not realize they're being recorded, and then point at those things for a while.
And blame it on them.
Right.
So it's this never ending.
We've come a long way since like South Park back in the day when it was like when Chef died.
Oh, the season 10 opener.
To
the children.
Right.
Like, come a long
way.
Hello
there, children.
We've come Randy!
I watched that just like 2 days ago. We've come a long way since then.
Ah, okay, cool.
Let's see. What else?
You know who had a bad week this week?
Who?
The city of Baltimore.
Dude, they're having a very, very bad time. So what? They were hit by ransomware on May 7th. And they are demanding, $100,000, if I recall correctly?
13 delicious Bitcoins.
Yep. And so they have literally taken their entire network down.
$100? I mean, $14,000. I mean, $87,000.
I mean, $200,000.
$12. Changed three times since you started
since we said Bitcoin.
I'm doing great right now, actually. Oh, never mind. I'm doing terrible.
They're going to up it to 14 Bitcoin.
Sell.
Nope, you said 13.
Right.
Bye.
But yeah, so I mean, it's nobody can buy a house. No, you can't buy or sell a house.
There's finance departments now.
You can't do your driver's license renewals. You can't because their entire network, they had to take their entire network offline trying to figure this out.
But you know what? The person with the best in this article, though, I want to say a shout out to City Council President Brandon Scott, because he's taking real action and calling for a committee to look into the city's cybersecurity and its response to the attack. You get them, Brandon Scott.
Well, this is the dumbest line. It's still somewhat of an active crime scene, so they're trying to follow the breadcrumbs to see who did this.
Right.
Well, that's not real, is it?
That's
no, it absolutely is, yeah.
It's a quote.
Yeah. Councilman Scott.
It's ridiculous.
I love it. Study of a study of a study of a study until we find out that there's
a
problem somewhere.
We're going to have a meeting to figure out when we're going to have the meeting to have the meeting.
We just weren't backing anything up.
Yeah.
Crazy. Oh, boy. So, hey, we're going to take a quick break. Yep. We're going to be back with the guys from Otava. This is the IT in the D show.
And we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back, segment two, episode 298. This is the one and only IT in the D show, broadcasting live here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob the sales guy, Dave the geek, Nuri the FNG had to go push code, so he had to leave.
That's not a euphemism.
But Randy, I do the Twitters, is sitting in his seat. Find us online, itintheD.com, because we are IT in the D.
And you're still not. And we're still not bored of talking about it.
Nuri, I'm ruining your ass groove.
Ah, oh, gross.
Dang.
Right.
I want to talk a little bit about Turo. So I travel a lot for work. I'm always renting cars. It's a thing for me, right? So you get off the airplane, you collect your luggage, you go walk out to the rental car bus, hop on the rental car bus, wait in line there, sign a bunch of paperwork, and then get some shitty 1998 Toyota Corolla with like 70,000 miles on it.
Not an enjoyable experience.
No, it's miserable. So our friends at Turo have completely changed the game. Instead of renting from a giant company with a bunch of terrible cars, you are now in a peer-to-peer car sharing marketplace. So say you have an impressive business client and you want to get a Tesla to take, like I did when I was in Orlando and had an amazing experience. Or say you need to move your stuff over the weekend and take a truck and help your buddy move boxes. You're basically renting cars from local hosts, which is amazing. There's 5,500 cities across the UK, Canada, the US and Germany, and 9 million users worldwide.
It's amazing. Like just opening the app and flipping through, it's ridiculous how many, what's out there.
So and they bring it to you.
They bring it to you, totally. Yeah. Like when I was at Orlando Airport, they basically met me curbside, which was awesome. I walked out with my bag, hopped in the car, and drove off in a beautiful Tesla. But there are 850 unique makes and models, Teslas, Porsches, Mercedes-Benz, BMW, Ferrari, Subaru, Toyota, and more. I actually see a lot of classic cars and like super muscle here in Detroit, which is absolutely amazing.
I wonder how much I could get for my 76 Cadillac convertible during Woodward Dream Cruise.
Oh, $1 million. So basically, whatever you need, Turo's got it. 350,000 vehicles globally, and insurance is available on every trip too, so you can make sure that beautiful car you're taking out is basically perfect when it comes back. So skip the rental counter with Turo. Download the Turo app, that's T-U-R-O, on the App Store or Google Play, or visit Turo.com. Get $25 off your first trip when you sign up for Turo and use promo code ITINTHED25 at checkout. Terms apply.
But hey, we are joined by a couple old friends of mine. We've got Jason Yeager, Aaron Lake in the house. They are from a company called Otava. Gentlemen, welcome. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So, I mean, this you guys just went through one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on is you just went through a major rebrand. And it's, you know, these days with IT companies, you know, brand is like a big deal. So, like, you got, you know, if you don't know Otava, I think you've heard of online tech before. They've been around since, what, 94, I want to say?
25 years.
Yeah, is one of the first dial-up ISPs in the state of Michigan. And you guys have grown up just a little bit. So I guess give me the story on the rebrand, and then we'll dive in on the other stuff.
So when we were an ISP company, the name Online Tech made a lot more sense than it does today. Otava is the next generation of online tech. So talking about online tech as a company, you know, we were very much a data center, ISP, co-location company. Otava is more the vision for the future. Cloud-focused, cloud-first, cloud technologies.
Right. So, I mean, I guess walk me through that, because it seems like everybody's has a, you know, what's your cloud strategy is kind of like the new what's your, you know, digital transformation strategy 3 years ago. You know, what's you know, when you guys talk that, what's the story?
So, Bob, I know you're going to love this. hybrid cloud is our strategy.
Bingo.
So, yeah, I know. I get that. So hybrid cloud for us means, you know, we've got co-location. We've got data centers. We also deliver cloud services, which could be public cloud, could be private cloud, or dedicated private cloud. So for us, it's, you know, it's all about delivering the best cloud services with management or what have you.
No, I'm on the same page as you, because there's some things that run better in separate or different environments. Some things are better internal. Some things are better external.
You and, know what we really do? We solve problems.
Yeah,
that's all we do. We solve problems. We solve it through the means of IT, you know, hybrid cloud, this multi-cloud, digital transformation, whatever these things are. We help companies solve problems. And one of those problems is whatever your cloud strategy is today, right?
Right.
And people have to answer to their boards. They have to figure out how to utilize the tools that we have at our disposal. And cloud, whether it's public or private, a company like Online Tech or AWS or Azure, you know, they're all tools, and there's the right tool for the right job.
No question. I almost hit the bell when you said tool. Sorry.
I had to go there. I thought you were telling me shut the
No. I was hanging out during like the Jan Nest days, and Jan stepped down. Jan was a great guy. And you guys have been bought, and you guys have a parent company. What's the story? What was their attraction to picking up you guys?
The new one or the one before that?
Both.
Well, you know, there's a lot of investment in this industry right now. And so, you know, our prior owners had an investment strategy, and that included, you know, moving away from this in 5 years. So after 5 years, we went out to the market, and there were a lot of interest in a company like ours. We built a solid platform, not only from a customer service perspective, but also our portal, OT portal, which pretty much runs our entire business, not only on the back end, but also it's our interface between our customers, is how we provide the transparency in our services. And so, you know, we had a lot of people that wanted to use us as a platform to go acquire other companies. And that's what the Shures Corporation did.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's my one of my favorite, you know, is when like CIOs or like my CIO said we need to go to the cloud. You know, my first question has always been why? You know, I guess, you know, talk to me through that process, how you get everybody drilled down to what makes the most sense.
Well, I mean, it's about limiting IT spend. So a lot of companies are capital shy. They don't want to spend money on hardware. They don't want to spend money on, you know, hiring, you know, top end resources that are fully focused on delivering, you know, IT services, whether it's, you know, compute, virtualization, or storage. So we abstract a lot of that from the end user or the end company.
Right. So again, when you talk, you know, you talk 8 different flavors of cloud, they're like, well, I don't know. I imagine that's, you know, well, we got to be in AWS. Well, why? You know,
you could be in AWS, you could be in Azure, you could be in our cloud. So our vision for Otava is to deliver and help you meet those goals by offering managed services, professional services on top of what we deliver.
Huh.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to necessarily be all in AWS. It could
right.
be in Azure. It could be anywhere. I mean, there are reasons. Like I said, there's a tool for every job. AWS has a lot of tools for a lot of different jobs. So does Azure. So does Otava. So, you know, it's about figuring out the right combination of those things to help solve that problem.
Right. So, I mean, I saw you guys were been on a trip to Romania. What's going on there?
Go ahead.
So we've got we acquired a company several months back now. We did a carve out of a business called NeverFail, which we essentially acquired their complete cloud business. So we essentially doubled the size of our company overnight, which gave us not only data centers globally now, but we have a complete support structure that follows the sun.
Okay.
Never a bad idea.
No.
No, people want their stuff fixed, right? No yeah. matter what time it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and part of that is a group of people that work out of our Romanian office now. Otava is now multinational.
Right.
Not only that, we have services. We service customers out of Manchester, UK, Australia, Virginia now, Texas, Las Vegas, all those.
God, I haven't talked to you guys in like a year. Look what happened. Jeez.
Where you been?
Exactly.
Yeah. I've been around. CenturyLink, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right. It's all good, though.
Yeah, so back in 2 years ago when you worked for Online Tech, we had 5 data centers. Mm-hmm. Now I think we're up to
like 13 or something like that?
13 footprints.
Had four. I think you just acquired the St. Louis one.
That's correct.
Yeah, we had two in Kansas City area.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we've grown up a little bit since we talked last.
Yeah, I was going to say, no, good for you.
December 1st, by the way, Aaron said less than a year ago, is December 1st that we acquired a company called NeverFail.
Yeah.
And folded them in, and now Online Tech and NeverFail are Otava.
See, that they have to be like 0.9 fail, because like, if you say never fail, no.
Listen.
That's why they sold.
Knock out.
Right. Is that never fail? Is that in your SLA? Like, oh, crap.
Right. The SLA wasn't 100%. I don't know.
It was a little mistranslation from Romanian into U.S. English. Was,
no, I always like the
almost never fail.
It was a company out of Minneapolis I called on when I was at Cisco that was called One Neck. I always thought that was the greatest name.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, what? One throat was taken.
That's actually why they named the company that.
It was totally.
Because one neck to choke, one throat to choke. They were bought by like Windstream or something like that. I can't remember.
Someone big bought them.
Someone big bought
them. No, not Trace 3.
It was a fiber provider or a telco provider. I can't remember who it was. So, yeah,
onethroat.com was taken. Is that, I was always joked with them.
I mean, yeah, it probably was.
Right?
Oh, the worst is the Detroit Lions. The hashtag One Pride. Like, don't you can go, Randy, but Dave, don't go to onepride.com. I'm like, do you think Lions PR would understand? Anyway,
nah.
No.
Not many people do. Like, you Google it before you come up with
everything.
Everything. Right. Before you say anything, Google it now, and you'll figure out if it's one of many different things that's going to offend somebody.
Like onepride.com, new website coming summer 2014.
Oh, sweet.
Ooh. Oh, so it dropped. Nice. Yeah.
But I mean, I'm sure, like, what was so. We're always intrigued by naming conventions. Like, we named Podcast Detroit. I said to Dave, what do you think about Podcast Detroit for this thing? All right, register it. Like, it was pretty much like.
That's not how it
Yeah, I was going to say.
It was like worse than naming your child. It was,
oh.
You know, it had been online, you know, it was Online Technologies before it was Online Tech. And we have this argument in office. I said, that's not a rebranding. We just like removed letters from the name. So it had been that name for what, 24 years. It was difficult. There were a lot of people in the room debating it. Took us about a year to come away with something that everybody could get on board with. But I really like the name. It's a great name.
Well, you're in the same category as Microsoft Azure. You know, it's Azure or Azure. I'm looking at it going
Otava
or Otava.
Otava. Well, there's not two T's. I don't. That's the first time I've heard Otava.
Have you really?
What is it?
Otava. I've heard it twice Otava? Now, unfortunately. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you?
Yeah.
Both from Bob.
isn't that the city in Canada, the capital? Yeah. Ottawa.
Ottawa.
Yeah.
But there's two T's in it, though.
They got the Rough Riders football team.
Yeah. Otava. So it was painstaking. We had, you know, 10, 15 options, hired a firm, great firm that helped us through that process. And, you know, we came out on top, I think. It's a really great name.
No,
it has the OT in it, so it pays a little homage, even though that was not contemplated at all in the decision-making
process. Completely unintentional.
Yeah, unintentional.
No, but it's not .com cheesy, and it's just modern. Yeah, no, I told when I saw it, I'm like, makes sense.
Yeah,
like, you know, it's not right. Like the Covansys, like it's we're converging systems and
like, I know. Like you know, the whole new thing now is putting two words together that, you know, two words,
yeah.
Putting them together, mashing them together and creating a company name.
Blue Marble.
Right.
Like, no.
Yeah.
No.
I'm not even going to say some of our competitors, but you know, like, they just throw two words together and that's our new name. And it's, you know, this whole, you know, thing around that. So I think we're probably biased, right? Because we came up with it, but I think we did a good job, and the marketing team really did a wonderful job with the logo and everything. Like
needs
that.
The O Henry needs like the O, the apostrophe that Otava.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are Irish for
St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you can rebrand the site for St. Patrick's Day
right. For one day.
Thanks for the marketing advice. I'll pass that along.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be sure to implement that tomorrow.
That's why I'm not a marketing guy.
So, I mean, obviously you guys have a pretty extensive roadmap, some things you probably can share and some things you can't. Is there anything you can share?
That's Aaron can share some of that. Maybe not. I don't know. Let's see.
I can share some. So faster delivery of services. So one of the nice things, one of the big parts of the Neverfail acquisition was their delivery platform. So they are fully automating everything. So delivery of services significantly faster than our customers have had in the past. Along with that is delivery of a workspaces as a service platform. So if you're familiar with desktop as a service,
yep.
This is more of a more fully fledged, completely automated delivery platform. So to any MSPs out there in the audience, we have had a huge amount of traction with our workspaces platform to deliver, you know, essentially end services, applications to your end user with a centralized location. So essentially hospitals. We've got a very large construction company that we deliver their desktop application to their end clients and have it fully managed, fully maintained, completely automated to push out to any number of organizations. Multi-tenancy has been built in first to the platform. So that's a huge, huge deal for us.
Very cool. So, I mean, that's one of those things that, like, God, I remember having those conversations at GM back in 98, 99 about just how much, you know, okay, yeah, thin clients are cute, but they're not really there yet. And, you know, and that was always the goal. So it's nice to see, you know, here we are 21 years later that, you know, the technology is actually there and a lot easier to deal with.
I still don't think, like, people haven't really implemented it on a wide scale. And yeah. I don't know why. There's so many benefits to it.
I mean, that's the big portion of it is it works well. The technology works well, but it's relatively difficult to implement. So this Workspaces platform, Workspaces as a Service, makes that significantly easier to manage and maintain for not just one customer, but tens or dozens or hundreds of customers.
I never understood retail. Like if you go to like an enterprise rent-a-car or like anywhere like a hotel that they actually have a PC, you know, it's like, why would you do that? It makes no sense to me. This always made sense to me. Back when the first time I saw Citrix seeing a Windows 386 machine run Windows,
yep.
This always made sense to me. Like, why don't you have think like?
I don't understand why they do it. I mean, it's because they get caught in one thing and then they continue to replicate it over and over and over again. Because
it's the way we've always done it. That's the way we're going to do it.
And the person that's going to recommend that, and then you get this behemoth of, you know, an environment that's sprawled over thousands of locations and, you know, tens and hundreds of thousands of devices. And so it becomes difficult, but we can help people solve that. So
I guess like who, so I know you mentioned MSPs, but like, so I guess who would you be looking for as a client for that sort of thing other than an MSP themselves?
MSPs, hospitals, anybody that has data in scary places. So
pretty much everybody.
pretty much everybody.
At this point, it's everybody. I mean, we used to talk about healthcare and financial organizations, but really what it boils down to, we're really big in healthcare, really big in financial, and then any company that has placed a value on their data, right? And that's the most important thing. And more companies nowadays are placing value on their data.
They are. So you mentioned two industries, healthcare and financial, which are probably the most heavily regulated, scrutinized, audited, yada, yada, yada industries out there. Does moving to an approach like this help them with compliance? Does it help them with, you know, all the other issues they have to deal with?
It does. I mean, at this point, the jury's out. Putting your data with a company like Otava or many of our competitors, right, is more secure than building your own private cloud and putting it in your location and doing all those things.
Looking at you, City of Baltimore.
I know. So we deal with these sorts of things over thousands of customers, and companies that are doing this on their own don't deal with it with anybody.
Weren't you guys the first HIPAA compliant data center in the state?
If I'm not mistaken. We were first HIPAA compliant data center in the country.
Was in the country? Wow.
And we were one of the first PCI audited data centers as well. We added ISO 27001 about a year and a half ago, and HITRUST is coming this quarter. So we're continuing on that road, but that's what it is. I mean, if you put your data with us, it will be more secure just because we know what we're doing. We've done it over – I mean that's what it is, right?
You're not one guy in that one office down the hall that nobody goes down to until their printer doesn't work.
Your services aren't dependent on that. You know, the guy who built it who has the most tribal knowledge in it. You know, there's usually one of these guys at the places that we're – you know, the companies that we're going to.
IT is almost like a car these days. Back in the day, everyone wanted to build their own engine. Now it's like, if I just push the gas, I want it to go.
That's
like,
I don't even want to take it in for maintenance.
Right.
Like, build me something that just continues to run and works. And that's what we want to do.
That's what I never understood by someone that was in like the potato chip business wanting to get into IT. Like, just you make potato chips, we'll do the IT.
That's exactly. I mean, it's about a core competency, right? So if your core competency isn't IT, why would you do it? Just like if your core competency isn't potato chips,
right,
you're in the candy bar industry, you're not just going to go do it. It just doesn't make sense. It makes more sense to put your data with us.
So new website is otava.com.
That's otava.com. Yep.
That's otava.com.
Coupon code IT in the D.
/ IT in the D will give you, whatever percentage off that Bob negotiates.
You get a free white paper.
And you get to be put on the drip campaign for the rest of your life.
Be sure to put your email address in, please.
But hey, Jason, Aaron, always a pleasure seeing you guys. I really appreciate filling in for Nick. Hopefully, best wishes to his father. And thank you guys for coming out. Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with the interviews from Motor City Comic Con. This is the IT in the D show.
Hey, we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit. One beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Hey, welcome back. This is segment 3, episode 298 of the one and only IT in the D show, broadcasting live here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob the sales guy, Dave the geek, Randy, I do the Twitters, and you find everything you need to find out at ITinTheD.com.
Hey, so here at IT in the D, we know that listeners are all saints who wouldn't dream of using their computer science skills to wreak havoc around Detroit. But we can't all admit that hacks are entertaining, and learning more about how black hats can compromise our systems will make us all better IT professionals. Hackable, an original podcast from McAfee, takes hacks inspired by the headlines and TV shows and tests whether friendly hackers can pull them off. It's like Mr. Robot meets Mythbusters and can be found on all major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. In each episode, Hackable host Jeff Siskind actually invites a white hat to try and hack a device he's using. Using DNS rebinding, rats, which if you don't know are remote access Trojans, brute force attacks, and more, they've compromised everything from laptops and webcams to drones, virtual reality headsets, and smart plugs. In the latest episode of season 4, Jeff and the team bravely challenge a hacker to break into their smartphones. Pretty sure I would not issue that challenge myself. No. So hey, here's what you do. Listen and subscribe to Hackable. That's H-A-C-K-A-B-L-E, Hackable, today on all major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Stitcher.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Gonna definitely go check it out.
No,
cool.
But hey, we taped a couple interviews at Motor City Comic Con with Lou Ferrigno, the original Incredible Hulk, and also with
who did not fight the Sasquatch.
No, we'll talk about that another time. And then also with an awesome guy, Stanley from The Office, who was a load of fun as well. And then a couple of voice actors as well. And then Dave,
enjoy.
Indeed.
So, hey, welcome to a special edition of the IT and the D Show. We're hanging out on the floor of Motor City Comic Con 30th anniversary with none other than Leslie Baker. You might know him as Stanley on The Office. Sir, thank you for hanging out with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
So how's Detroit treating you?
Detroit is treating me very well. Everyone's very warm and welcoming. We're having a good time here at the Comic Con and getting to meet fans.
You're born and raised Chicago, right?
So born and raised,
you're used to Midwestern.
The cloudy weather, the unpredictable weather, the snow, the ice, yes.
Sure.
But then I've left all of that behind.
My grandparents actually immigrated to Skokie.
I'm aware of Skokie,
Nice comeback it's having. It's real nice.
It's beautiful. It was beautiful years ago when I was at Loyola. We would go up to Skokie and have lunch.
Right. Nice. Yeah. So, 9 seasons on The Office.
Yes.
Pretty much an all-star cast. That had to have been a laugh a minute. You guys all kept a straight face. How did you guys pull that off?
A lot of tongue biting and gnashing of teeth, but we were able to get through it sometimes. And then other times, if you see the outtakes, we didn't get through it.
Right.
We just laugh and have a good time.
So I don't know. I mean, obviously, we're tech nerds. So I don't know if you're aware, like, when you go on Facebook and you can do a GIF file, like a moving picture to, like, as an emotion, you know you're, like, I think number two or number three in line when you put, like, roll eyes and you got that.
Yeah. All over the internet. All over.
Like a human meme now. How does that feel?
You know, don't mind being a meme. It's a very lovely thing.
Right, right.
Yes.
I mean, that's a priceless expression, obviously, you know.
You know, it's been a blessing to be a part of the show and meet the fan base. And the technology keeps evolving, and we're a part of that, and that's a great thing.
Well, I mean, if you look at it, the show's going to evolve like a Friends of Seinfeld. I mean, we're going to be long in the tooth, and that show's still going to be syndicated somewhere.
And I'll be for every young and youthful grimacing in the office.
So how much did you watch the British version before you hopped into this?
I did not. Ricky Gervais often got on me because he said, you never watched my show. I said, I've been too busy working on this one.
Right.
I saw maybe one episode, but that was after we started doing our version.
Okay, all right. Yeah, it's a pretty heated argument between some of the fans, like which one, you know.
Let them argue. Let them.
Yeah. As long as you keep watching.
Keep watching.
Talk about it. So what are you working on these days?
I'm still in my second season of Puppy Dog Pals for Disney. I just started a new cartoon for, it's called Copper. I play a truck, I play a lift truck, Uncle Torek. What else?
What's that like going from acting in front of the camera to voice acting?
It's acting is, you know, you get to have, you don't have to get up and get dressed. You don't have to get up as early. You don't have to do hair, makeup, wardrobe.
So
the craft services.
So be a voice actor is what you're saying.
Well, the craft services allows you. So I would say
it's a wash.
But it's Uncle Forkrick is my character. So then, you know, I'll do some films and other stuff that I can't tell you about because of the NDAs.
That's fair.
Yeah. So what you're saying is you keep very busy.
I'm a little bit busy and doing these speaking at universities and. I'm busier now. Yeah.
So, like, what, speaking of universities, the topic, like, commencement addresses, or?
Being invited as a guest speaker to talk about life, the office, showbiz in general, corporate America, you name it.
So, I mean, you got your master's degree. Did you ever see yourself going down this path?
Did I see myself going down the path of what?
Acting, voice acting?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, fair enough. Sometimes, like, you know, he got a theater degree and a biochem degree, and he's an IT nerd.
Well, I've got a degree in psychology and one in human services administration.
Right, right.
And I'm an actor, so you never know where life is.
Precisely.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm going to wrap this up.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I've got people waiting.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
Leslie Baker Stanley from the office. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank
We're
going to
take
so
a quick wrap. This is the IT and the D Show.
Hey, we'll be right back.
Hey, welcome. Thanks for joining us. It's a special edition of the IT and the D Show. We're hanging out live. Motor City Comic Con on the floor with none other than the legend himself, Mr. Lou Ferrigno. Sir, thank you for spending time with us. How are you doing?
Thank you.
Doing great. So we just heard a phenomenal story. You got to share this with us. You just became an honorary sheriff of the city of Detroit.
Yeah, because I've been a deputy for California for 15 years. But I guess one end, and now I became a special deputy for Wayne, for Penny, Sheriff Penny Napoleon.
Sure. So what does that give you the ability to do?
Well, I mean, I behave like everybody else. I make sure I won't give you a ticket.
Yeah, yeah. So how did you get involved being a sheriff out in L.A.?
Well, my father was the NYPD lieutenant for 15 years ago. He talked to the sheriff, and he said, once you go to the academy, because I've always wanted to be a law enforcement officer, but I went to the academy, and then I became a certified deputy sheriff. I want to be honorary. I want to do the real deal.
Sure. Yeah. Like Steven Seagal, Shaq.
Steven Seagal is honorary. He's not a
Oh, he's honorary. Okay.
No, I'm a certified deputy sheriff.
No kidding. All right.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, Detroit, you're here. You're a fixture here almost every year.
Every 2 years. I've been here when I can between filming.
Okay. So, what's your favorite part? Do you get downtown much? Did you go to the ball game?
I enjoy the fan. It's a gratification. I feel so appreciated here. I have a great town because people here, they either like you or they don't like you.
Right.
And they're very Detroit, organic, yeah.
So, I mean, you make your way to get some Detroit pizza, Coney dogs?
I did have a pizza the other night. I ate at Steve and Steve and
Steve Rockies.
Yeah.
Oh, great place.
Great food.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. No, we love it.
Before that, we went to Antonio. That was great hiding food.
Okay, all right. So did I hear you threw out the first pitch of the Tiger game?
Yes, I made it in.
Did you really?
I did it bounce the ball like first one.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're not gonna be on the not top 10 on ESPN. Exactly. Nice, thanks. So you're talking about filming. What are you working on these days?
I got a comedy coming out, the spoof of Game of Thrones called Purge the Kingdom in July.
Okay.
As a fit of the comedy with Porter Short and Billy Zane called Guest House. That'll be out shortly. It's a wonderful comedy.
Okay. So I just got to ask, with all the Avengers hoopla going on and the Hulk and everything, I mean, do they roll the red carpet out for you still and invite you out to all the big events?
I mean, I have a thing to do with Avengers. Hopefully they'll make a transition with the Hulk, because the new one is doing more to do with Mark Ruffalo. But right now, the comic here is dominating the box office. I think Endgame could have passed Avatar.
Oh, and I think it already has.
Yeah.
It's but it was well done. I mean,
everybody raves about it.
3 hours long, but I mean, it wasn't, you know. Right. So what are you watching these days? You watching Game of Thrones? What are you?
Yeah, I saw the last episode. I'm amazed. I think it's probably going down in history. Probably the greatest TV series.
It's insane. The production value just for like 8 TV series.
That wraps up tonight.
Yeah, right. But when you look at it, it looks like a $200 million film.
Right, right.
Every
right.
episode, yeah.
Yeah, wonderful.
Are you going to watch it tonight or are you flying over?
My wife TiVo.
Oh, good. Oh, you still say TiVo. Now you say Dave's a TiVo junkie.
Yeah. Hey, you got TiVo. You can't hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. Other than that, with the Game of Thrones spoof, anything else you're working on you want to talk about? Or?
Well, I'm working on a reality show. My daughter and I, we want to do something like change people's lives. So it's to be a big surprise, because I want to get back. Also, they're doing a documentary on me, so I've been very busy.
Awesome. Really cool. Yeah. Well, hey, your fans are waiting for you,
Thank
so I'll
you.
Let you cut
Thank
you loose.
Much.
Thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lou Ferrigno, we'll take a quick break. This is the IT and the D Show.
Hey, we'll be right back.
Thank you.
You get a drop quick?
Oh, yeah. Do you mind doing a drop?
What?
Like a show ID, like a 10-second.
What is it?
Hey, this is Lou Ferrigno, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show.
Where'd you go? One break.
Just name the show.
Yeah.
The IT.
So IT and the D
IT
show.
IT and the D show.
Yep.
Hi, this is Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk. You're listening to the ID and the D Show. I keep listening because you wouldn't want me to get angry.
Perfect. It's beautiful. Thank you.
All right, that wraps things up for episode 298 of the IT and the D Show. We'd like to thank our special guests, Aaron Lake, Jason Yeager from Otava. Appreciate the conversation. It was a load of fun. Also, we'd like to thank the Incredible Hulk, Lou Ferrigno, Leslie Baker, who's Stanley from The Office. Fun conversations, no doubt. Also, like to thank our sponsors, Lenovo, Turo, and McAfee. Thank you for keeping the lights on behalf of Bob, Dave, Nuri, and Randy. Do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. See you next week. Drive careful. Beat it.
See you, folks.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash. You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Ain't the run. Run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the camp.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the truth.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
I would, like, be
Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me. Show
now. I love this city.
I was banging on the wang.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.